each other. The purpose of this virtual reality process is to cause you to activate vibrations within you that put you in a place of allowing your well-being. So you would not create a virtual reality where you build your new house with a leaky roof and then bring repair people into your virtual reality to fix the leaky roof. You would not put up ugly wallpaper and then bring someone in to replace it. In your virtual reality, you can make it be precisely the way you want it to be. Do not use this process to try to improve a specific existing situation, because in your attempt to fix something, you will bring the existing vibration into your virtual reality, and in doing so, you will lose the power of the virtual reality process. Nothing is more important than feeling good. There is no reason that well-being is not pouring into your experience in precise detail in response to all the things that you have identified that you want, other than the fact that you are in a bad mood, or are angry or worried about something. This exercise of virtual reality will help you train yourself to feel better more of the time, and like working a muscle, the more you do it, the better it works for you. Esther once practiced this game of virtual reality while she was driving the big bus she and Jerry travel in. She discovered that it worked best for her to get into the scene quickly, bring herself to a place of really feeling good, and then get out. If she stayed too long, she would get too practical and try to reform people or fix things. But when she would just decide where the good-feeling place was going to be by picking something that made her heart sing, deciding who else was going to be there, identifying what kind of mood they would be in, and then just speaking a few words of dialogue and getting out, it felt wonderful. We would encourage you to play this game when you are driving, standing in a line, or lying in bed, or you could even just set some time aside to do it. As you create these scenarios that make you feel good, you activate a vibration that does feel good, and then the law of attraction matches that vibration. There is nothing more important than that you feel good, and there is nothing better than creating images that cause you to feel good. When Esther, as she was driving, would think about what the air felt like, sometimes she would give it just a little humidity. Sometimes it would be so dry that it would feel good as it blew across her body. Sometimes it would be 90 degrees with no humidity at all. She thought of every pleasant combination of temperature, humidity, and time of day that she would think of. And then she would bring lovely friends to come and play with her, and they would have all kinds of wonderful experiences. She got so good at virtual reality that she wanted to stay longer, because when she played this game, she could control everything about everything. Every thought that feels bad is bad. The universe does not know, or give attention to, why your vibration is what it is in any moment. In other words, the doctors could have diagnosed you as being disease-ridden yesterday, and today you would be driving down the highway, like Esther did, in some sort of fantasy virtual reality. In that moment, there would be no representation of any disease within your body, and if you could maintain that vibration more than you maintain your awareness of the disease, it could not remain in your body. It is only there because, somehow, without knowing it, you have chosen thoughts that are a vibrational match to the essence of the disease. Every thought that you have chosen that is a vibrational match to disease feels bad when you think it. It feels like anger, frustration, resentment, blame, guilt, or fear. Those thoughts are not good for you, and you can tell that they are not good for you because they feel bad when you think them. In the same way that touching and feeling a hot stove hurts, feeling negative emotion hurts. Something that you lived a long time ago that is not active in your vibration, or something that you lived yesterday that you are not thinking about right now, does not have any vibrational weight in your point of attraction. None whatsoever. So you do not have to rid yourself of all negative thoughts. Sometimes, as you are interacting with others, you will hear, see, or smell something that triggers a vibration within you that does not feel very good as it is activated. And that is the time for you to say, "Oh, my guidance system is working. I can feel that there's something activated within me that's not serving me very well. Because in the activation of this vibration, there's some resistance within me that is now disallowing the well-being that would be there otherwise." So that is the time to choose a thought that feels better. And if you have practiced virtual reality, then it will be very easy for you to reach for a thought that feels better. But if you have not been practicing, then when you are in the middle of a negative thought, you do not have anywhere positive to go. So you'll just have to wait until that thought peters out. Another example of a virtual reality process. The more you practice the process of virtual reality, the more you will be practicing the vibration of no resistance. The more you practice the vibration of no resistance, the better you will feel. And, of course, the things that you want will now easily begin to flow into your experience as well. For example, imagine the following scenario. Place: a lovely white sandy beach. It's winter time, but the weather is delightful. It's 70 degrees with scattered clouds, and the air feels wonderful on my skin. I have no shoes on, so I'm enjoying the feeling of the cool, clean sand under my feet. My clothes are loose-fitting and very comfortable, and I feel very good in my body, and I am lazily walking down the beach, feeling strong, happy, and secure. My 5-year-old granddaughter is with me, and she's loving the glorious day, as I am. She's glad to be with me, but she does not seem to need me to entertain her, and I'm enjoying watching her happy, self-empowered activity as she runs, digs in the sand, and enjoys this lovely beach. I'm very glad that we've come to this place. It was a very good choice. My granddaughter runs up to me holding a shell that she's discovered, and with a gleeful sweet voice and bright sparkling eyes, she says, "Grandma, I'm so happy we're here. Thank you for bringing us here." And I tell her, "You are most welcome, sweet girl. I love being here with you. Now this is a good time to get out." Worrisome or thrilling, your visualizations are matched. In Tucson, a dear friend gave Esther a windshield repair kit, and Esther thought, "I wonder how it works." She read the instructions and thought, "This is a wonderful thing." And every time she picked it up, she thought, "What an ingenious thing this is." So she and Jerry were on the road, and in about 10 minutes, a truck swiftly passed them, causing a rock to ricochet off the windshield of their motor coach. Almost immediately, Esther got to experience the need for windshield repair that she had been visualizing. No matter whether you worry or rejoice in your virtual reality, you set up a vibration that the law of attraction matches. Someone said to us, "Abraham, I have a hard time visualizing. When I think about going to virtual reality, it's just sort of a blank space for me. I don't know how to do this." And we said, "Can you remember events that have happened? If you can remember, then you can do virtual reality, because none of that is right here, right now, and as you are remembering, you are recreating it from something." So, visualizing or virtual reality is no different. It is conjuring, but with the singular intention of pleasing yourself as you do so. As you practice this process and stimulate your imagination more, you will not only find the process to be a delightful, good-feeling way to spend some time, you will discover that your dominant vibration on a myriad of subjects is changing, and that your life experience will now begin to reflect these wonderful improvements. Process number 5. The Prosperity Game. When to use this process? When you want to expand your ability to imagine, when you want to add more clarity or specificity to your desire, when you want to enhance the flow of money into your experience, when you want to enhance the flow of abundance with respect to a variety of things. Current emotional set point range. This prosperity game will be of the utmost value to you when your emotional set point is ranging somewhere between 1, joy, knowledge, empowerment, freedom, love, appreciation, and 16, discouragement. If you are not sure what your current emotional set point is, turn back to Chapter 22 and scan the 22 categories on the Emotional Guidance Scale. In this process, you will begin by establishing an imaginary checking account. In other words, there will be no actual bank involved, but you will make deposit entries and check withdrawals just as if it were an actual account. You could use an old checkbook system that is no longer in use, an accounting program in your computer, or you could even manufacture a complete system by using a notebook as your checkbook register and blank pieces of paper for your deposit slips and checks. It is of value to make this process feel as real to you as possible. On the first day, deposit $1,000 and spend it. In other words, make a $1,000 deposit entry into your checkbook register, then write out checks to spend those dollars. You could spend your money all in one place using one check, or you could spend it for several different things using several different checks. The point of the game is to have fun thinking about what you would like to purchase and to enjoy the process of actually writing out the checks. Be descriptive on the memo portion of the check. For example, for a beautiful writing pen or great running shoes or membership at Gordon's Health Spa. You can spend it all today or save some for another day. However, we encourage you to do your best to spend it today, because tomorrow you will be making another wonderful deposit. On the second day, deposit $2,000. On the third day, deposit $3,000. On the fourth day, deposit $4,000. When you reach day 50, deposit $50,000. When you reach day 300, deposit $300,000. If you play this game every day for 1 year, you will have deposited and spent more than $66 million. You will be benefiting by increasing your ability to imagine. In other words, you will discover, as you play the game for a few weeks, that it will begin to take real concentration to spend that much money, and so your ability to imagine will expand tremendously. Most of our physical friends really do not exercise their imagination very much. Most people offer their vibrations almost exclusively in response to what they're observing, but by playing this game, you will find yourself reaching for new ideas, and in time, you will feel the expansion of your own desire and expectation. In doing so, you will benefit by shifting your point of attraction. You see, the universe is responding to your vibrational offering, not to your current state of being. So if you are giving your attention only to your current state of being, then your future evolves much the same. But if you are giving focused attention to these wonderful expanding ideas that this game evokes from you, the universe now responds to the vibrations of those thoughts. The universe makes no distinction between the vibration you offer in response to what you are living and the vibration that you offer in response to what you are imagining. So, this prosperity game process is a powerful tool for shifting your vibrational point of attraction. You can play the game for a short time, or you can play it for an entire year or more. Whatever you choose is appropriate. It may feel awkward in the beginning, but the longer you play the game, the more expansive your imagination will become. And as your imagination expands and you focus on the spirit of fun and expansion, your point of attraction will shift. By writing the checks, using your imagination, writing the memos, focusing as you write, and feeling no resistance as you write the checks because there is no fear of overspending, you will achieve what is necessary in the achievement of anything. You will have made a statement of desire while you are in the state of non-resistance, or better said, in the state of allowing. So, not only will you have the benefit of an expanded imagination, but your point of attraction will shift, and your life experience will then shift as well. Not only will your financial situation improve, but all manner of things that you have focused upon with pleasure will begin to flow into your experience. You can start the game or stop it, and you can play it any way you like. There are no rules. There is nothing that you should or should not do. In other words, pick it up and play with it. Spend as much time as you want. But the important thing is, do your best to exercise your imagination. If you were a sculptor on your first day of sculpting, you would not take your big clump of clay and throw it down on the table and say, "Oh, it didn't turn out right." You would mold it. You would get better at it. You would get more clay. You would get different colored clay. You would find a way to continue to evolve in your creative endeavor. And yet, when it comes to the creation that you mold with the clay of the energy that creates worlds, most of you make no conscious effort to direct your thought. In other words, it's as if someone else took the clay and threw it down there, and now you spend your life just talking about how it looks. "Well, that didn't turn out very good. My parents should have done something different about that." Or, "The economy should be doing something different than that." Or, "There is injustice or unfairness." Or, "I don't like the way someone else dealt with that." And we say, get your hands in your own clay. Summon the energy through the power of your desire and mold it through the power of your imagination. A friend said to us recently, "Abraham, I don't think you care if my lover ever comes to me. I think you want me to get so good at imagining him that I don't notice that he's not here. And we said, that is exactly right, because when you are imagining that he is here, then, in your joy, in that moment, you vibrate in a place where you summon and allow God force, life force, to flow through you. And there is nothing more wonderful than that. And then we said, oh, and by the way, when you get there, he cannot not come. But as long as your desire for him to come is more about your awareness than he has not come, not only can he not come, but the misery that you are feeling in that moment is because you are choosing a vibration that does not allow the energy that your desire is summoning. Joyously playing this prosperity game will not only improve your financial state of being, but every aspect of your life will improve as well. It will not only help you activate more vibrations around things that you want, but it will assist you in focusing, more of the time, in a way that allows the things that you want to flow into your experience. Playing this game will cause you to offer a more expansive, expectant vibration, and it is our promise to you that manifestations will begin to arrive in response to your changed vibration. Process number 6, the process of meditation. When to use this process? When you want relief from resistance. When you want an easier way of immediately raising your vibration. When you want to raise your general level of vibration. When you want to feel an awareness of your inner being. Current emotional set point range. This process of meditation will be the most value to you when your emotional set point is ranging somewhere between 1, joy, knowledge, empowerment, freedom, love, appreciation, and 22, fear, grief, depression, despair, powerlessness. If you're not sure what your current emotional set point is, turn back to chapter 22 and scan the 22 categories on the emotional guidance scale. Any thought you continue to think is called a belief, and many of your beliefs serve you extremely well. Thoughts that harmonize with the knowledge of your source and thoughts that match the desires that you hold. But some of your beliefs do not serve you well. Thoughts about your own inadequacy or your unworthiness are examples of those kinds of thoughts. Now, with an understanding of the laws of the universe and some willingness to deliberately choose thoughts, you can, in time, replace all hindering beliefs with life-giving beliefs. But here is the process that can give you the immediate benefit of changing your beliefs in a much shorter time. We call this the process of meditation. We playfully tell our physical friends that the reason we teach the process of meditation is because it's easier for most of you to clear your minds, having no thought, than it is for you to think pure, positive thoughts. For when you quiet your mind, you offer no thought, and when you do so, you offer no resistance. And when you have activated no resistant thought, the vibration of your being is high and fast and pure. Imagine a cork bobbing on a body of water. That represents the place of high, pure, fast vibration that is actually natural to you. Now imagine holding the cork down under the water. That is what resistance is like. And now imagine letting go of the cork and see it rise back to the surface of the water. Like the cork, naturally flowing on the water surface, it is natural for you to experience the high, fast, pure vibration, free of the hindering resistance. And like the cork, if you are not doing something that holds you under the water, you will bob right back up to the surface where you belong. In other words, you do not have to work at being in the high vibration that is natural to you, because it is natural to you. But you do have to stop holding the thoughts that cause you to lower your vibration. It is a matter of no longer giving your attention to things that do not allow your cork to float or do not allow you to vibrate in harmony with who you really are. If you are not focused upon unwanted things that are the opposite of your own pure desire, you will activate no vibration of resistance, and you will experience your natural state of thriving and well-being. A decision is the focusing of the vibration of desire. And the decision point happens when the desire is powerful enough. The only decision that we would like you to exercise is to make a decision that nothing is more important than that you feel good and that you are going to find thoughts that feel better. Your cork floating is the only thing that is worthy of discipline. You could say that the process of meditation is a shortcut to changing your beliefs, for in the absence of thought, there is no resistance within you, and your cork, so to speak, bobs naturally back up to the surface. Now, to begin the process of meditation, sit in a quiet space where you are not likely to be interrupted. Wear comfortable clothing. It does not matter if you sit in a chair or on the floor or even lie on your bed, unless you tend to fall asleep when doing so. The important thing is that your body be comfortable. Now, close your eyes, relax, and breathe. Slowly draw air into your lungs, and then enjoy the comfortable release of that air. Your personal comfort here is very important. As your mind wanders, gently release any thought, or at least do not encourage it by pondering it further, and refocus upon your breathing. You are by nature one who wants to focus, so in the beginning this process of meditation will feel unnatural, and you will find your mind wanting to return to things that you have been focusing on previously. When that happens, relax, breathe again, and try to release the thought. You will find it easier to quiet your mind if you choose small thoughts that do not have the potential for expanding into something interesting. You could focus upon your own breathing. You could mentally count your breaths in and out. You could listen to the dripping of a faucet. In choosing the soft, gentle thought, you will leave behind all thoughts of resistance, and your vibration, like the cork, will naturally rise. This is not a process where you work on your desires, but instead, this is one of quieting your mind. And as you do so, any resistance will subside, and your state of vibration will rise to its natural, pure state. As you quiet your mind, you may feel a sense of physical detachment. For example, you may feel no real difference between your toe and your nose. Sometimes you will feel the sensation of twitches and itches beneath your skin. And often, once you have released resistance and are soaring in your natural, pure, high vibrations, you will feel an involuntary movement in your body. It may sway slightly from side to side or forward and backward, or your head may roll gently from side to side, or you may simply feel the sensation of movement or a yawn. But any or all of these sensations or movements are indicators of your achievement of the state of meditation. Your point of attraction will now have changed, and your state of allowing will be in place. Things that you have been asking for, all of which have been given, are now flowing gently into your experience. And as you come out of your state of meditation, this state of allowing will continue until you focus upon something that changes your vibrational frequency. But with enough practice, those higher frequencies will become so familiar to you that you will be able to reclaim them whenever you choose. Over time, if you meditate regularly, you will become quite sensitive to the way the higher frequencies feel within your body. In other words, whenever you focus on anything that causes a dip in your vibration, you will now be more likely to recognize it at the early, subtle stages before the dip is too significant, and you will be able to easily change your resistant thought in order to maintain your balance. Abraham, speak to us more about meditation. Many teachers, and we are among them, teach meditation as a very good process for raising vibration. An effective meditation would be one that distracts you from any physical awareness that causes resistance within your vibration. For when you turn your attention away from what holds your vibration in a lower place, your vibration will naturally rise. It is like a withdrawal of consciousness, but while you are still awake. When you are asleep, you withdraw consciousness too, but when you slumber, you are not consciously aware of what it feels like to be in that higher vibration. When you are awake and in a state of meditation, you can then consciously recognize what it feels like to be in that higher vibration. And in time, you will gain a new sensitivity to your vibration so that you will immediately know whenever you are focusing on something that is causing resistance. Sometimes people say, "Abraham, is it normal for all hell to break loose in someone's life when they begin the meditation process?" And we say yes, because you are bringing yourself to a place of heightened sensitivity so that your formerly achieved patterns of lower vibration are now less comfortable to you. Some other ways to raise your vibration. Now, there are other ways of raising your vibrations than meditation, such as listening to music that makes your heart sing, jogging in a beautiful place, petting your cat, walking your dog, and so on. These are just some of the many pleasant activities that cause a release of resistance and a rise in vibration. Often you are in your highest state of connection to source energy while you are driving your vehicle. That is the reason why there are relatively so few traffic accidents. The rhythm of the road, the distraction from what has been bothering you, and the idea of going someplace new often causes you to leave behind thoughts of things that have been bothering you. Your goal is to release any thought that causes resistance so that you are then in a place of pure, positive thought. It is not a problem if you cannot completely quiet your mind, unless your mind is chattering about negative things. If you are softly thinking about pleasant things during meditation, it can be of value. For example, after spending time with a family they adore, Jerry and Esther enjoyed many pleasant hours of thought and conversation about that wonderful day. Anytime they wanted a good-feeling moment, they had only to remember something about that day, something one of them said, something one of the children did, the beautiful weather, the delicious food, the invigorating walk through the woods. In other words, it is quite easy to find something that is pure, positive energy. Thinking about your pets can be a good source of positive thought because animals are so unconditional in their love. Just find any thought that feels good when you think it, and practice it until you begin to set that tone within you, and then other good-feeling thoughts will follow. Another example of the meditation process. So, here is the process that, if we were in your physical shoes, we would utilize. Every day, for 10 or 15 minutes, and not much more time than that, we would sit quietly by ourselves in some pleasant place where we would not be interrupted, maybe under a tree, maybe in your vehicle, maybe in the bathroom or garden. We would do our best to shut down our physical senses. In other words, we would draw the curtains if the light was too bright. We would close our eyes. We would choose a quiet place. We would be aware of breathing air into our lungs, and we would be conscious of breathing out. We would concentrate on long breaths in and long breaths out. We would breathe air in, and when we thought it was all our lungs could comfortably hold, we would softly bring still more air in. And then, at a place of full expansion of our lungs, we would take a long, slow, delicious moment to let the air out. Our intention would be nothing more than being in this moment and being consciously aware of our breathing. Nothing to do other than breathe. Not fixing breakfast, not combing hair, not wondering how someone is doing, not thinking about yesterday, not worrying about tomorrow, not focusing on anything in this moment except air in and air out. This is a state of allowing where, for just a few moments, you stop running the show. You stop trying to make anything happen. This is the time when you are saying to your source energy, to your inner being, to your God, or whatever you want to call it, "Here I am in a state of allowing. I'm allowing source energy to flow purely through me." 15 minutes of effort will change your life because it will allow the energy that is natural to you to flow. You will feel better in the moment, and you will feel more energized when you come out of it. Can 15 minutes make that much difference? A big benefit that you will notice right away is that things you have been wanting will begin showing up. Now, why is this? After all, you might say, "Abraham, I didn't sit and intend. I didn't sit and set goals. I didn't sit and clarify what I want. I didn't tell the universe what I wanted. Why does 15 minutes of just being set those kinds of things in motion?" Because you have already been asking, and now, during your time of meditation, you have stopped the resistance that has been holding it away. Because of your practiced meditation, you are now allowing your desires to flow into your experience. You cannot be part of this physical environment without endless desires being born within you. And as these desires are being born within you, the universe is answering them. And now, because of 15 minutes of allowing, whether you're petting your cat, practicing your breathing, listening to a waterfall or soothing music, or were on a rampage of appreciation, for that time of allowing, you established a vibration that no longer caused resistance to the things that you have been asking for. "Well, Abraham, if I've been really negative for 50 years, is it going to take me 50 years to turn it around?" No. 15 minutes ought to do it. In 15 minutes I can undo all of the disallowing that I've learned to do? In 15 minutes you can allow. You do not have to undo anything. Well, what if I really develop major habits of negativity? Is 15 minutes going to change that? Probably not. But the next time you go to one of those negative thoughts, you're going to be more aware of it. Your guidance system is going to be stimulated so that you will be aware, probably for the first time in your life, of what you are doing with your non-physical energy. That is so important, because everything that happens to you and everything that happens to everyone you know occurs because of the energy that you are summoning and allowing or not allowing. Everything is about that relationship with energy. Everyone you know who is having every experience that you know is having it because of the focused desire that their life has brought to them and the state of allowing or resistance that they're in at any moment. What could I accomplish in 30 days? Do you know that you could have every deadly disease known to man, and some that we haven't figured out yet, in your body right now, and tomorrow they would all be gone if from one day to the next you learned how to allow the energy to flow? We are really not encouraging those kinds of quantum leaps. They're a little uncomfortable. What we are really encouraging is that every day you be selfish enough to say, nothing is more important than I feel good, and I'm going to find ways to do so today. I'm going to begin my day by meditating and bringing myself into alignment with source energy. And as I move through the day, I'm going to look for opportunities to appreciate so that all day long I'll bring myself back into source energy. If there's an opportunity to praise, I'm going to praise. If there's an opportunity to criticize, I'm going to keep my mouth shut and try to meditate. If I feel like criticizing, I'll say, "Here, kitty, kitty," and I'll pet my cat until the feeling goes away. Within 30 days of mild effort, you can go from being one of the most resistant people on the planet to one of the least resistant people on the planet. And then those who are watching you will be amazed by the number of manifestations that begin to occur in your physical experience. We sort of see you from an aerial view, and it is like you are standing on one side of a closed door, and the other side are all the things you have been wanting just leaning up against the door, waiting for you to open it. They have been there from the first moment you asked for them. Your lovers, your perfect bodies, your ideal jobs, all the money that you could ever imagine, all the things that you have ever wanted, things little and things big, things that you would call extraordinary and significant, and things you would call not very significant. Everything that you have ever identified that you have ever wanted will be lined up right outside your door. And in the moment that you open the door, all things wanted will flow to you. And then we'll hold a seminar on how to deal with manifestations of all this stuff that is flowing in. Process number 7. Evaluating dreams. When to use this process? When you want to understand why you are having a particular dream. When you want to understand what your vibrational point of attraction is, and what you are in the process of creating even before it manifests into your real life experience. Current emotional set point range. This process of evaluating dreams will be of the most value to you when your emotional set point is ranging somewhere between 1, joy, knowledge, empowerment, freedom, love, appreciation, and 22, fear, grief, depression, despair, powerlessness. If you're not sure what your current emotional set point is, turn back to Chapter 22 and scan the 22 categories on the Emotional Guidance Scale. What you think about and what manifests in your life experience is always a vibrational match, and, in some way, what you think about and what manifests in your dream state is always a vibrational match. Your dominant thoughts always match your manifestations, and so, once you understand the absolute correlations between your thoughts, how you feel, and what is manifesting in your experience, you can then accurately predict everything that will come into your life. It is nice when you are aware of your thoughts and therefore aware of what you are creating before it manifests, but it is also of value, after something has manifested, to then acknowledge the thoughts that led up to it. In other words, you can make the conscious association between your thoughts, feelings, and manifestations before the manifestation occurs or after the manifestation occurs. Both are helpful. When you dream about something, it is always a match to the thoughts that you have been thinking. And so, since each of your dreams is, in fact, your creation, it is not possible for you to dream about anything that you have not created through your thoughts. The fact that it now has manifested in your dream state means that you have given it a significant amount of thought. The essence of the way you feel about the things you think about most will eventually manifest in your real life experience. But it takes even less time and attention for it to manifest in your dream state. And for that reason, your dreams can be of immense value in helping you understand what you are in the process of creating in your awake state. If you are in the process of creating something that you do not want, it would be easier to change the direction of your thoughts before it manifests than waiting to change your thoughts after it manifests. The process for evaluating dreams is as follows. As you go to bed, consciously acknowledge that your dreams accurately reflect your thoughts. Say to yourself, "It is my intention to rest well and to awaken refreshed. And if there is anything important for me to recall from my dream state, I will recall it when I awaken." Then, as you awaken, before you get up, lie there for a few minutes and ask yourself, "Do I remember anything from my dream state?" Although you may be able to recall different aspects of your dream state throughout the day, usually the best chance of recalling your dreams is when you first awaken. And as you begin to recall one of your dreams, relax and try to remember how you felt during the dream sequence, for recalling your emotions will give you even more information than recalling the details of your dream. You must give significant attention to any subject for it to become powerful enough to manifest in your experience. And quite a bit of attention must also be given to a subject before it will begin to show up in your dream state. For that reason, your more meaningful dreams are always accompanied by strong emotion. The emotion may feel good or bad, but it will always be strong enough so that you will recognize the feeling. How did I feel as that was happening? If you have awakened from a very good-feeling dream, you can be confident that your dominant thoughts surrounding that subject are pointed toward manifestations that you do want. When you awaken from a bad-feeling dream, know that your dominant thoughts are in the process of attracting something that you do not want. However, no matter where you stand in terms of what is manifesting in your experience, you can always make a new decision and change the manifestation to something that is even more pleasing. It is truly more fulfilling to consciously create increasingly satisfying scenarios in your life experience than it is for you to create, by default, things that you really do not want, and then try to turn those things around to things that you do want. For once something does manifest, then you have all that observing of the unwanted thing to deal with, as well as the habit of thought that brought it about to begin with. As soon as you begin to understand that your dreams are wonderful creations of how you really feel and what you are creating, then you can begin to deliberately change your thoughts in order to positively affect your dreams. And as soon as you receive the positive dream, you will know that you are on the path to a more positive, real-life manifestation. If you awaken from a bad dream, do not worry. Instead, feel appreciation for your awareness that you have been giving attention to something you do not want. In the same way, you appreciate the sensors in your skin that alert you to the fact that you are approaching something that is very hot. Appreciate that your emotions have made you aware that your thoughts are approaching something unwanted. Now, you do not create while you are dreaming. Your dream is a manifestation of what you have been thinking during your awake state. However, once you are awake and you are now thinking about or discussing your dream, those thoughts do affect your future creations. It is helpful to keep a written record of your dreams, but it is not necessary to be extremely elaborate in the recording of the details. Record the general setting where the dream took place, the basic people who appeared in the dream, and what you were doing in the dream, what others were doing in the dream, and, most significantly, how you felt within the dream. You may discover more than one emotion within the dream, but the emotions will not be very different from each other. For example, you would not feel both ecstatic and angry in the same dream because the vibrational frequency of those two emotions is too extreme to show up in the same dream. So, if you have identified how the dream felt, if you want to do something about changing or enhancing that emotion, you may have to move on to process number 22, moving up the emotional scale. Abraham, speak to us more about evaluating dreams. Dreams can give you a wonderful insight into your current vibrational state of being. Your recall of a dream is your physical translation of blocks of non-physical thought that you have interacted with in your dream state. When you sleep, you re-emerge back into the energy of the non-physical and you have conversations. Not conversations in words, but vibrational ones. Then, as you are awakening, you translate that block of thought back into its physical equivalent. Sometimes when you have wanted something for a long while but do not see any way for it to really happen, you will experience a dream where it does happen, and then, in the pleasant recollection of the dream, you soften your vibration of resistance, and then your desire can be fulfilled. Many years ago, Jerry and Esther were mutually involved in a business enterprise, but they were not romantically involved. They felt appreciation for one another, but there was not a romantic feeling because neither of them would allow themselves to have that. Each of them, due to circumstances and beliefs, had not even tiptoed into that arena of thought relative to one another. One night, Esther dreamed that Jerry, she saw him clearly, kneeled by her bedside and kissed her on the cheek, very much like the fairy tales that she had heard as a child, and when he touched her on the face with his lips, an extraordinary feeling began surging through her. A feeling of exhilaration, a feeling that all was well, a feeling beyond description. It was a feeling that she had never experienced, asleep or otherwise. And when she awakened, she could not stop thinking about that dream. She could never again think of Jerry in the way she did before her dream. This dream left a feeling in her that she had not known before. It was so delicious that she tried to dream it again and again, and if she was not able to dream it, then she would just try to remember it. She wanted to recapture the feeling of that dream, and that vibration was the catalyst that brought them together. Esther had been thinking things like, I want to live happily ever after. I want a partner who appreciates me. I want a joyful life experience. As Esther had been thinking those things, even though she was living the lack of much of it, her inner being, hearing her wanting, offered her something visual and sensual, something tangible enough so that she could not forget it, and something potent enough that kept calling her. And as she flowed energy toward it, oh, what a productive segment of time that was. Dreams as sneak previews of your future. Now, if you have things you want, but they are not the things that you have any touchstones about in your own life, for instance, you may want to be well, but you have never been well, or you may want to be prosperous, but you have never been prosperous, or you want a loving mate, but you have never had a loving mate, talk to your inner being about what you want and why you want it, and let your inner being offer to you, in your dream state, images that you can flow energy toward, which will cause your vibrational state to be as you want it to be, and then the law of attraction will bring it to you. Your dreams are manifestations of your vibrational point of attraction, so you can evaluate your dreams to determine what you are really doing with your vibration. Your dreams are sort of a sneak preview of that which is to come. So if you evaluate the content of your dream, you can often determine what your point of attraction is. And then, if you do not wish to live out that dream you have been dreaming, you can do something about changing it. As a result of what that influence surrounding you has been encouraging you to think, you may be flowing energy toward financial disaster, or you may be flowing energy toward a body that will not function well, and so on. As such, your inner being, which is aware that you are projecting sickness into your future, may offer you a dream showing you where you are going. And so, you awaken and you say, I don't want that. And then you say, what is it I do want? And why do I want it? And then you start flowing your energy productively toward what you do want, transmuting your energy and thereby changing your future experience. Process number 8, the Book of Positive Aspects. When to use this process? When positive emotion floods through you in response to a positive thought you are focusing on, and you wish to ride the positive, good-feeling wave longer. When you are aware that a subject that requires your constant attention does not feel good, and you want to improve your vibration on that topic. When most subjects that you focus upon feel good to you, but there are a few uncomfortable holdouts that you want to mold into a better feeling place. Current emotional set point range. This book of positive aspects will be of the most value to you when your emotional set point is ranging somewhere between 1, joy, knowledge, empowerment, freedom, love, appreciation, and 10, frustration, irritation, impatience. If you are not sure what your emotional set point is, turn back to chapter 22 and scan the emotional guidance scale. To begin the process of the book of positive aspects, purchase a notebook that feels good when you hold it in your hands. Choose a pleasing color with a line width that matches your writing style, with paper that allows your favorite pen to glide along comfortably and which opens comfortably and lies flat. Because of the action that will be involved in this process, not only is an improved degree of focus certain, but with the focus will come an increase in both your clarity and in your feeling of being alive. Now, on the cover of your notebook, write, "My Book of Positive Aspects." It would be beneficial to set aside at least 20 minutes for this process on your first day, but after that, you could continue in smaller increments of time. However, you may discover the benefits of this process to be so rewarding and the good feelings within the process so satisfying that you may want to spend even more time at it. Next, at the top of the first page of your notebook, write the name or a brief description of someone or something that you always feel good about. It could be the name of your lovable cat, your best friend, or the person you are in love with. It could be the name of your favorite city or restaurant. And as you focus upon the name or title that you have written, ask yourself these questions. What do I like about you? Why do I love you so much? What are your positive aspects? Then, gently and easily, begin writing down the thoughts that come to you in response to your questions. Do not try to force these ideas, but let them flow easily through you onto your paper. Write as long as the thoughts flow, and then read what you have written and enjoy your own words. Now, turn to the next page and write another name or title of someone or something that you feel good about, and then repeat the process until your 20 minutes has passed. You may discover, even during the first sitting, that you will have managed to activate within yourself such a powerful vibration of appreciation and well-being that ideas or other names or titles for your book of positive aspects will continue to flow to you. And when they do, take the time, if you can, to enter those titles at the top of other pages in your book. If you feel you have the time to ask the questions, "What do I like about you? Why do I love you so much? And what are your positive aspects?" then do so at that time. If not, wait until tomorrow, when you will begin the process again. The more positive aspects you search for, the more you are going to find. And the more positive aspects you find, the more you will search for. In the process, you will activate within yourself a high vibration of well-being, which matches who you really are, and you will feel wonderful. And even better, this vibration will become so practiced that it will become your dominant vibration, and all aspects of your experience will now begin to reflect this higher vibration. As soon as your notebook is filled, you will probably find yourself eager to purchase another and another, for there is a true power of focus in the experience of writing, and there is a true power of connecting to your own source energy in the experience of writing things that feel good when you write them down. The benefits of this process will be many. You will feel wonderful during the process. Your point of attraction will continue to improve no matter how good it is now. Your relationship with each subject that you write about will become richer and more satisfying. And the law of attraction will deliver even more wonderful people, places, experiences, and things for you to enjoy. Abraham, speak to us more about the Book of Positive Aspects. Imagine a beautiful city, not a big city, but a perfect city. The traffic flows nicely. There are beautiful points of interest. Living and working in this city is a wonderful experience. As you think about this city as we have described it to you, you may be thinking, "I could live there happily ever after." Oh, but there's one little thing we forgot to mention. There is a very deep pothole on 6th Avenue. Now, if you were to focus on the positive aspects of this city, it is our expectation that if you were to live in this city, you would live happily ever after. Most people have not been introduced to their life by someone who was pointing out the positive aspects of it. Instead, most have been introduced more often by someone saying, "Watch out for the pothole on 6th Avenue." And so, because of the negative orientation that surrounds them, most are consumed by the pothole. Let us say that someone has been declared terminally ill. Her doctor has given her a death sentence, and yet the majority of her body, over 99% of it, is as this magical city. It is functioning well. All the arteries of traffic are working very well. It is just that because of the attention the doctor has given it, she is now giving her full attention to the pothole, until it will eventually consume her city. Remove your attention from the city's potholes. As I focus upon what I want, I feel good. If I focus upon lack of what I want, I will feel bad. So let's take it a little further. Can you focus upon more than one thing at a time? You cannot. Can you feel more than one way at a time? Can you feel good and bad at the same time? You cannot. And so it is not logical, for it certainly falls within the guidelines of the law of attraction, that if you are focusing upon what you do want, you cannot at the same time be focusing upon what you do not want. And if, when you focus upon what you want, you will feel good. And if, when you feel good, you would be in the positive mode of attraction, then would not your most important work to be to look for the positive aspects of all things, to look for the parts of all things that are uplifting you, and to get your attention off the potholes? Sometimes, when first learning about deliberate creation, our physical friends will worry. They are afraid that every negative thought they think is going to reach out into the cosmos and bring some monster into their experience. We want to ease your fear by reminding you that you are living the balance of your thought. So it requires quite a bit of thought about something before it will manifest in your experience. But as a people who have lived in a society that is predominantly oriented towards criticism and what is wrong, always wanting to face the facts, you have become those, even in your individual thoughts, who predominantly worry rather than predominantly know that all is well. We want to encourage you to give more of your attention to what makes you feel good, not something so radical that you must control every thought. Just make a decision that you will look for what you want to see. It is not a difficult decision to make, but it can make a big difference in what you bring into your experience. Give attention to what feels good. Something that is reality seems like it deserves your attention. It's true, after all, it's true. Shouldn't I document it? Shouldn't I count it? Shouldn't I make the statistics of it? Shouldn't I tell others about it? Shouldn't I warn my children about it? Shouldn't we beat the drum of these things that we do not want, because they are reality, and therefore make them more reality? And we ask, why would you do that? Why not look out into the database of creation and selectively sift the realities that you want to replicate and beat those drums? And your answer is never a good enough one. It is, we do it because it's reality. We do it because someone else did it. If we were standing in your physical shoes, we would not let the reality of something be our basis for attention. We would let the feeling vibration of it be our basis. So we would start saying to anyone who was interested in knowing what we were about, if it feels good, I give it my full attention. If it doesn't, I don't look at it at all. And you know what they'll say to you? You should face reality. So answer back, I do. I do it all the time. I've just become a more selective sifter of the reality that I face, because I've begun to discover that whatever reality I'm facing, whatever reality I'm talking about, thinking about, remembering, regurgitating, whatever reality I'm making statistics of, whatever reality I'm holding for very long in my vibration, becomes my own reality. And I've become particular about the realities that I replicate in my experience, because I've discovered that I can create reality. I can create reality. I can create reality. And I can choose the reality that I'm creating. Oh, we love saying that to you. You are creators, and you can create anything that you want. But there is a better way of saying it. You can and will create anything that you are giving your attention to. Wherever you go, you will be there too. Jerry and Esther had been giving workshops at a hotel in Austin, Texas, which seemed to regularly forget that they were coming, even though contracts had been signed and Esther had called on the day of arrival to confirm. When they got there, the sweet girl behind the desk always acted surprised, and then there was always a scurry to get things ready for their workshop. Esther said to us, "Maybe we should find another hotel. And we said, that is one way of going about it. But it is our expectation that wherever you go, you will take yourself with you, for you take your vibrational habits and patterns with you everywhere you go. So we told them to buy a notebook, and across the front of it, in bold letters, write, My Book of Positive Aspects. And then turn to the first page and write, Positive Aspects of South Park Hotel in Austin. So Esther began to write, It is a beautiful facility. It is well situated, very easy access to the interstate, and easy to give directions to. The parking lot is adequate and convenient. Our room is always very clean. There are many sizes of rooms, so we can accommodate whatever size group will be attending. And as she made these entries, she found herself wondering why she had ever considered finding a new hotel. In other words, her attention to the positive aspects put her in such a mode of feeling good about this hotel that, it is our knowing, she cannot attract anything that is not good from that hotel. In other words, she took her attention, by virtue of her deliberate writing in this book, off the pothole. Is it inspiration, or is it motivation? You can look at this in two different ways. If I do such and such, these good things will happen, or if I don't do such and such, these bad things will happen. The first inspires you to action from a positive place. The second motivates you to action from a negative place. Your book of positive aspects will put you more and more in the position of attracting, by virtue of your inspired, positive feeling, whatever you desire. Process number 9. Scripting. When to use this process? When you are feeling good and want to add specifics to what you are creating in your life experience. When you want the thrill of identifying and writing down things you would like to experience and then seeing the universe deliver to you the details you described. When you want to consciously experience the power of your specifically focused thought. Current emotional set point range. This scripting process will be of most value to you when your emotional set point is ranging somewhere between 2, passion, and 6, hopefulness. If you are not sure what your current emotional set point is, turn back to chapter 22 and scan the categories on the emotional guidance scale. Esther turned on the television one evening and found herself immediately captivated by a movie that was well underway by the time she found it. In this movie, a seemingly unsuccessful scriptwriter was just discovering that his typewriter seemed to be magical. Each day, after he had described the scenes and written the words that the actors would speak, these same things would then come to pass in his own experience. And so, if a situation was not going the way he wanted it to, he went to his typewriter and wrote an improved version, and that scenario would then play out in his life experience. As Esther watched the movie, we said to her, That is really the way it always works. As you focus clearly upon things you desire and hold no contradictory vibration that causes resistance, whatever you desire must be. For when you ask, it is always given, every time, with no exceptions. If something that you desire is not coming, it can only be that you are not allowing it to come because of the thoughts that you practice that are contrary to your own desire. Nothing else prohibits you from realizing every dream. So this is how the scripting process works. Pretend that you are a writer and that whatever you write will be performed exactly as you write it. Your only job is to describe, in detail, everything exactly as you want it to be. As you are having fun playing this game and are not taking it too seriously, any of your hindering beliefs are less likely to be activated. In other words, by pretending that your typewriter, word processor, computer, or notebook is magical, and that whatever you write can be realized, you accomplish the two things that are necessary in the achievement of anything. You focus the lens of your desire, and you offer no resistance. This process will help you be more specific about your desires, and with the greater clarity about exactly what you do desire, you will feel the power of this specific focus. The longer you concentrate on a subject and the more detail you give to it, the faster the energy moves. And with practice, you can actually feel the momentum of your desire. You can feel the universal forces converging, Often you will be able to know when you are upon the brink of a breakthrough or a manifestation just by virtue of the way you feel. Because of the whimsical approach of this game, you are less likely to bring to your point of focus thoughts of doubt or disbelief. As you stay light and playful, you will be able to maintain a specific focus in the absence of resistance, and again, you will have